morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our very rainy studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. And keep it clean, folks, and be respectful, because otherwise we're going to ban you.
Yeah, I bet.
Just the way it works.
I'm an itchy trigger finger.
We like people to get along and and be respectful. So anyway, coming up at 11:33, in case you are wondering, today is primary election day in Wisconsin. It's very, very important that you get out and vote. There are two statewide referendum on the ballot for everyone in Wisconsin that will change the Wisconsin state constitution. And if you are confused about those referendum, and don't feel badly, many people are, and I certainly was before we had a chance to talk to both Dan Schaefer and Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters. And we talked to her last week about these two referendum, and we're going to do a rerun of that interview coming up at 11:33. If you still have questions about how you want to vote on those two referendum, it's very, very important. And the second question specifically has to do with election workers. Election officials say the second proposal could have especially unpredictable consequences because it seeks to ban anyone other than election officials from performing any task in the conduct of primary election or referendum. So how strict would this be? Does it mean they couldn't hire private companies to print ballots or put together voting machines or other city workers? Can they not set up polling sites?
It sounds
no
like,
one is sure.
Yeah, it sounds like if this went through, guess what? You're on your own. If you can't get the money, too bad.
Yeah, Mike Haas, Madison city attorney and former administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, says it's a very poorly written provision because it is so vague. Keep that in mind. That's by intent. It's vague because it's intentional. So that will give them more powers to clamp down on things to make it more difficult for us to hold free and fair elections.
And one thing I will say now, but in our replay of Deborah Cronmiller's interview, League of Women Voters Wisconsin always has great, helpful toolboxes on their toolkits on their website that helps them break down what's on your ballot and helps explain what's going on. And here's the weird thing is, even if you wanted to vote yes on these, if you read that, you might even say to yourself, you know what I mean? Like, even though they're taking a certain standpoint, they want you to vote no. She's going to say to vote no. If you read that, you might be like, well, I disagree with that. Thank you for explaining to me. I'm going to vote whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's still a good place to go.
Absolutely. And at least be informed about what you're voting on.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to look at your ballot ahead of time before you head to your polling place, you can do that at myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov will show you everything that is going to be on your ballot when you step in there. The polls are open until 8 o'clock tonight. We talked about this a little bit last hour, Greg. If you can vote early, do that.
Yes, please.
The earlier, the better, because the weather is going to continue to worsen. And the National Weather Service now is looking at snow accumulations over a foot in Sturgeon Bay, 10 and 11 inches in Appleton and Green Bay, 4.5 inches around Marshfield and Wausau, and the winds are going to be kicking up, and it's just going to become more lovely as the day goes on, she says facetiously. So get out to the polls. Earlier is going to be better for you.
And we mentioned
earlier. That's not possible for everyone, but.
Yeah, of course. And we mentioned earlier, if this kind of thing does discourage you from voting, the weather, then remember, going to myvote.wi.gov allows you to sign up for those absentee ballots that will be sent to your house. You can fill them out, mail them out, and you can, for the rest of the calendar year, the two elections coming up, you can have ballots sent to your house. And you have to worry about, like Pat said, we have to worry about, like, you know, personal life getting in the way, work life getting in the way, weather getting in the way. You've got those ballots. They're at your house. You can fill them out, and you're set and good to go.
Absolutely. All right. We did mention also last hour that the former president is going to be stopping in Green Bay, supposed to be holding a rally there about 5 p.m. tonight, with the weather being what it is. And that might be kind of at the peak of when the snow is coming down. We'll see whether or not Donald Trump makes it to Wisconsin. This would be his first visit here in quite a few years. And during an interview with a conservative radio host on Monday, Donald Trump said Wisconsin is one of the key states to winning. We've had great luck there. We've had some delayed luck.
Okay.
We had a great election, says Donald Trump. The second time, we actually did much better than the first time we won in Wisconsin. The second time, we did much better, but I guess it was delayed. They found out a lot of wrongdoing, and after the wrongdoing was found, people said, well, he actually did win. No, Donald, you lost in Wisconsin by about 21,000 votes. Our favorite popcorn king, Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker, spent $2 million of our money to pay Michael Gableman to search for all this fraud. Michael Gableman had a good time. He got to go to Arizona. He went to the MyPillow Symposium.
Doesn't love Arizona. Who doesn't want to go there on $2 million? And then what happened, Jane? What did Robin the Popcorn King Voss officially state about the election?
That it was a free and fair election. Mm-hmm. And that the people who are pursuing this recall against him because he allegedly did not do enough to prove that Donald Trump won here, he has called them, morons and whack jobs?
And stupid. But that also begs the question, which recall effort? Oh, my God. It's craziness.
It is crazy. Donald Trump, according to Brianna Johnson, communications director for the Biden-Harris campaign, says Trump has ignored Wisconsin for nearly 2 years and now is spreading the same lies that inspired a mob to assault police officers and try to violently overturn an election that he knows he lost. Trump is reminding voters he has nothing to offer but resentment, revenge, and retribution with no vision or plan to make life easier for Wisconsin families. That last part, no vision or plan to make life easier for Wisconsin families, that could be applied to Eric Hovde.
Ooh.
But it could, he doesn't, I haven't seen one policy put forward by Eric Hovde, not one.
Oh, I did. He tweeted recently, and he just said, close the borders, fix the problem. Boom.
Now that's done.
That sounds like a Wisconsin legislator who's you know what? Fixed it. I'm going to go home for 10 months.
Yeah, that was well said.
You know, there's another word though you said in that statement, which is revenge. And I know it's just whatever. It's a piece of swag, but there's a gentleman who lives right by my mother-in-law who flies a flag. It's red and it says, Trump 2024, the revenge tour. And, you know, it's weird. I'd have so less of a problem if it just said Trump 2024. But when you say the revenge tour, that makes me think and know that you really don't care about Trump being elected. You care about just winning.
Oh, they care about getting back at those that they believe
exactly
are against them.
But it could be any dude then if they get their way. Like it's not about the man anymore. It's about the movement, and the movement has completely hypnotized them to the point where they think it's revenge. This is not hyperbole. It sickens me every time I pass it.
And it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Something else that just popped this morning, again, before you head into your polling place, you may want to think about this before you cast your ballot. Robert Reich is reporting on Twitter that RFK Jr. says President Biden is a bigger threat to democracy than Donald Trump. So if you're going to cast a ballot for RFK Jr., I implore you to think very seriously about what that could mean.
I don't remember who called when we were talking about RFK, and we were kind of making fun of him. And you know what? Someone called and rightfully, I don't want to say called us out, but said, you know, you're doing a disservice to his other points. So he went on his website and looked at his policies. And granted, they're policies, they're words. You can say whatever you want.
Right.
But they're not bad, and they don't misalign with what I believe, too. It's talking about, you know, climate change. It's talking about fair housing. It's talking about jobs. It's talking about stuff that his father and uncle would be pretty proud of, I think.
Yes.
The problem is When you say things like that and you put it out in the world that you want to get Aaron Rodgers or who or Jesse Ventura as your VP, you are undercutting everything you're working for. And if you have other policies and if you have other intentions on being president and you want to help people, nobody cares about them now. You make yourself look like a whack job. And I hate that because I don't think he is. I think he's just playing. I think he's trying to play the game and he's losing really hard.
Well, it's important to keep in mind also, folks, that his own family.
Yes.
Has just, I mean, they've all said he is undermining the message of JFK Jr. And RFK.
Yeah.
Don't vote for him.
Yep.
And he is very anti-vax.
Yeah.
Very.
That's another. Like I said, I just think that he's done himself no service by saying the things he said and doing the things he's done. He's made himself just seem like a weirdo rich guy.
Our colleague here at Civic Media, Johnny Watermelon, is on the line. Good morning, Johnny. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to call in and give you a little report about the voting down in Waukesha today. I just left there, Gene. It was just a wonderful experience. The staff there was so helpful. It was smooth. It was not crowded. It was in and out, man. It was a pleasurable experience. So I just wanted to let you and all the listeners know that.
That's wonderful, Johnny. What number were you? Do you know?
I was number 97. And because I moved to Waukesha just not too long ago, I had to fill out a little extra paperwork. But they were so helpful there, Jane. It was such a good experience. I mean, I can't stress enough for people to get out and vote today. It's easy. It was a great, rewarding experience.
Thank you so much, Johnny. That's really, really important and a great reminder, folks. Get out and vote. They're waiting for you. We really, really need everyone to participate. Let's kick that 66% turnout and really start getting those numbers up there. Earlier is better
because
the weather is going to get worse.
Yep.
All right, stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Change, change, change.
Change, change, change.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Cal B on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon is in the process of ruining.
But I can't leave it.
I know. I can't. I'm up. It's a sickness.
Yeah.
It's just a sickness.
I agree.
Don't forget, if you ever want to email the show, easy way to do that. If you have a suggestion for a topic you would like us to cover or something going on in your community or a nonprofit that you would like to get a little more love, you can always send your emails to janesays@civicmedia.us. janesays@civicmedia.us. And the complaints you can just, as always, send to Calvin. It is opening day for the Brewers. They're going to be hosting the Minnesota Twins. First pitch going out about 3:10. Our coverage on Civic Media. If you want to listen to the game, the home opener for the Brewers, you can catch it on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, and also WRJN in Racine, 99.9 FM and 1400 AM. So again, that's the Brewers-Twins game. Catch it on the Civic Media.
Nice. Radio Network. See you there.
Oh, I
catch it.
Yeah, I completely planned that out. That was, yeah.
Woo! Baseball.
Right. We've been reminding folks that the weather is going to continue to get worse as the day goes on. So if you can, get out to your polling place early, especially if you are around Sturgeon Bay. They're looking at 10 to 11 inches in Appleton and Green Bay, a foot in Sturgeon Bay, 4.5 around Marshfield and Wausau. So if you have an opportunity to get to the polls early, please do so. And former President Donald Trump supposed to be making a stop in Green Bay. We'll see if that actually happens now with this weather. I'm sure he would like to, because he's having a hard time with money.
But Jane, didn't he just sell Truth social Twitter thing for like a bunch of money? Or like he's rich.
Not so much.
Are you telling me that even if you go public, that doesn't mean you become a billionaire?
Early investors in the Trump Media and Technology Group tell Reuters they made quick money by cashing out late last week, just before the Truth Social financial report came out, and sent the share prices into a free fall yesterday.
I'm going to go check it.
A 21-year-old man, an investor, a data analyst from the UAE, rushed to invest in Truth Media stock as soon as it became available because he believed he could get Trump supporters to pay premium prices for a stock he believed was wildly overpriced. And it paid off. He bought up shares when they were trading at $37 a piece, sold them off last week when they went up to $65. He said it was a no-brainer. You buy the stock, wait for his fan base to hear about it, and enjoy your profits.
I mean, just to be clear, the stock didn't come crashing down. It peaked at $74.50. And that's fine. I'll take that. I'll take 7 million shares in with this.
Sure.
And right now the value's at 50-60. It's going up and it's going down. Now, does that mean it's going to stay like that forever? Probably not. The way that anything he does is managed, it's going to come crashing down, or it's going to be shut down by the government because of whatever kind of nefarious activities. But like, I mean, $50.59 stock, that doesn't look too bad to me.
No, that's not terrible.
He's still got money.
He does. But still, when the financial report came out about Trump Media, it lost $58 million in the last year.
Yeah.
And generated just over $4 million in revenue.
Because there's not that many people on that.
Those are not good numbers.
No.
Those are not promising numbers. Also not promising numbers, a new report says Donald Trump's small dollar donations have seen a big trend downwards. Trump raised $51 million from small donors last year, compared to $626 million raised in 2020. Republican small donor dollar fundraiser John Hall says the biggest problem in GOP fundraising is that we don't treat donors well. Sending 8 emails and texts a day promising an artificial match, threaten to take away your GOP membership, or call you a traitor if you don't donate, does not build a long-term relationship with donors. Let's not forget also that one of the last times around, people who were making donations to the Trump campaign were automatically enrolled to do this monthly.
Oh, that's right. They took their information.
They took their information and they automatically enrolled people monthly. And if you didn't click out of that box, they were doing automatic withdrawals from people, from his own supporters.
I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but this sounds like the kind of thing that Scientology does to people, where they have, if you don't give, they get in your face and they make you feel awful until they make you cave. And then that's it. You are maxing out credit cards and signing up for credit cards and that's just criminal. And yeah, of course the small dollar ones have gone down. The shine is gone. He has gotten worse. That's why we have people like Ethan from Wisconsin on the show from Republican Voters Against Trump. There's only so much people can take and they're done, especially from a guy who just apparently made billions of dollars on his stock.
Right. Again, this small dollar fundraiser, John Hall, in this article says he believes Trump's small donor boom slowed last year because donors had been sent too many messages guilting them into donating. Hall added that people being duped into donating to candidates they didn't know also played a role.
Ugh. That just feels like a crime that will never be prosecuted.
I do believe that in the instance of where people were signed up for these automatic draws,
yeah,
they got refunded their money. I'm fairly certain.
Good.
I'm fairly certain that at least they got refunded their money. But yeah, you would think that would burn a lot of people.
It would just make, I can't say that I wouldn't vote for them, because I see individuals who are burned all the time by this guy and they still vote for him. But yeah, that's just shady and awful.
It is Election Day. It is also Brewers Home Opener Day. And speaking of Election Day, there are two referendum on the ballots that would change the Wisconsin State Constitution. If you have questions about what those referendum mean and what the effects would be, I highly encourage you to stick around. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, we're going to replay a conversation we had with the League of Women Voters. Deborah Cronmiller joined us last week with a great explainer about these referendum. So stay close. That's on the way next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin B. coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. There are two referendum on the ballot today that would change Wisconsin's constitution. Very, very important measures, and they've been very confusing. We've been talking about it quite a bit in the last couple of weeks because they are intentionally written to be murky. So, here's an opportunity to clear this up. If you are unsure about how you want to vote on these referendum, this is Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters. We had a chance to speak to her last week. We're going to rerun it now, right here on Civic Media. Very excited to have our next guest join us. We've had a lot of questions about this. And as a matter of fact, Deborah, we just had a caller ask when we were going to talk about these two referendum that are going to be on next Tuesday's ballot. So delighted to welcome Deborah Cronmiller. She is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us, Deborah.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Well, let's talk about these two referendum, and we have talked about them a little bit before with other guests. It's my contention that these are intentionally written as murky as humanly possible to confuse people, so they don't know what it actually means. So I'm going to just read this first referendum, and then we'll pick that apart a little bit if that's okay. Number one, the use of private funds in election administration. Shall Section 7(1) of Article 3 of the Constitution be created to provide that private donations and grants may not be applied for, accepted, expended, or used in connection with the conduct of any primary election or referendum? So this, I'm assuming, is referring to some outside money that came in to help administer the elections in 2020 when we were in the midst of the COVID pandemic.
Correct. I think it is a response to that. I think it's also kind of circled into some of the what we know to be misinformation about how this money was used in 2020. You know, we were in a new and very different place in 2020 with the pandemic.
Yep.
And we had the consolidation of many polling places. We had, a lot of different needs that clerks had never had before. You know, they had to have a lot of protective equipment for that election. They had to have sanitizer, plexiglass shields, that sort of thing. We know when they, in some areas where they actually reduced the number of polling places, they needed more equipment in those polling places so that they could mitigate the number or the length of the lines so the voting experience wouldn't be a horrible one. Yet in Milwaukee, we saw lines that went around the block, you know, and it was just horrible. The monies that came from the Center for Civic and Tech Life were Civic Tech and Life are they're grants that are made to municipalities, and they have terms. And the terms are that you can only use their grant dollars for nonpartisan purposes. So things like the administration of the election, they could buy equipment, they could pay poll workers, they could get all that PPE that those polling places needed. What they could not do with the money by contract was use it for any partisan purpose. So there was no way they could have, a municipality could have tried to turn out voters of a certain party. So there was no partisanship in these dollars. And I think that the some of the misinformation that we're hearing is that because larger grants went to Milwaukee and Madison, communities that have self-selected to be a little bit more liberal, that clearly this was some way to turn out the Democratic vote. When in fact, 200 municipalities in the state of Wisconsin accepted grant dollars, some in the most conservative areas of our state. And our clerks took those dollars because they needed them to administer their election. It was not about political motivation. And so I think we need to separate the truth from the falsehoods and really make sure that people understand that one, elections cost money. Two, there's not enough state and federal money to go around to cover the cost of these elections. Outside money has been a part of election administration for years, even long before 2020. And without this money or without a guaranteed source of other monies, taxpayers are going to cover this cost. And I think none of us want our tax bills to go up.
Or we're just going to have much longer waits and much longer wait times, right? And the whole voting process is going to become more of a pain in the neck. And I think, as you said, Deborah, there is this misinformation that this money only went to Milwaukee and Dane counties. And I don't know, as you said, there are very specific requirements as to how this money can be used. So it's not like they're giving these dollars to the election commission and then they're printing up flyers on behalf of one candidate or another. That's not what the money goes for. It's, as you said, it was for PPE. People forget. Remember where we were 3 years ago at this time. We were standing 6 feet apart. We couldn't find toilet paper in the stores. As you said, Deborah, election clerks were dealing with a situation they had never dealt with before. And I had no idea that outside money has always been involved to some extent in running our elections, because there's so much attention on, Mark Zuckerberg. It's all Mark Zuckerberg's fault. And no, but that's not true.
Municipalities accept outside money to do lots of things, to support their libraries, to do their forestry work, to, you know, and elections dollars, when they're available, municipalities can apply for those as well. Kind of creating a wholesale, no, you can't accept any money for this one purpose of government. It seems, you know, targeted and wrong. It just seems wrong. We do not need this to be in our Constitution. The legislature had an opportunity to put said language into law, and that probably is exactly the right place where it should be, is in statute, if they want it to be there. The governor vetoed that bill. And, you know, there's a League of Women Voters, you know, an organization that's, you know, been advocating for good government, transparent government for 104 years now. This looks to us like a trying to usurp the executive branch's authority and take it onto the legislature. You know, the legislature had its chance to do this through regular lawmaking processes. It failed. They did not have the votes to override the governor's veto. And now they're trying something else. and that something else is putting this in the form of a constitutional amendment in front of the voters, which if you listen to some people who are advocating a yes vote on this particular amendment, they're saying that's where it should be. The voters should decide. Well, that's not good government. We have processes for putting these sort of policies into law. Those processes didn't work because our lawmakers couldn't agree. And that's that doesn't mean you change the process. That means you don't get the law.
Well, and it's essentially, well, we didn't get what we wanted through the regular channels, so we're going to invent a new way to get what we want anyway and put this as a referendum that is poorly worded to confuse people.
It seems like an emergency break glass almost situation.
If you're just joining us, Deborah Kronmiller is our guest. She's the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, and we're talking about the two referendums that will be appearing on your ballot statewide next Tuesday on April 2nd when we head to the polls for the primary. It almost seems, Deborah, that some people want to make voting much more difficult.
Yeah, we think that this could potentially have that ramification if enacted, which is why we're asking for a no vote. You know, if voters do have to wait longer, if there's less, you know, up-to-date equipment or fewer, you know, the second question of all of this, you know, fewer people involved in the mix to help support our valuable clerks, you know, what does that do to the voters? What does that do to their voting experience? And when voting experience starts becoming less and less a positive one, do folks stay home? And that's the sort of advocacy that the League has been doing for many, many years. We want everyone to have access to the ballot. It needs to be as simple as possible. It needs to be, you know, the least number of barriers to ensuring that your vote is going to count. And this just looks like we're standing up some additional hoops to jump through and making it harder for our clerks. You know, we all know through all the polling evidence, people like their clerks. They trust their clerks. Our clerks are our neighbors. Our poll workers are our friends. Yep. We know that the elections in Wisconsin have strong integrity. And by putting in some of these not necessary constraints on our elections, you know, do we break down some of that?
We're talking to Deborah Kronmiller, who is the executive director from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. We've talked about this many times, Deborah, about we should be embarrassed as a country and as a state on how low our voter turnout is. That must make you crazy when you see like 66%. I guess it's better than 46%, but the goal is to get people out. And this election is going to be more important than any in our history.
Yeah.
Seriously, we cannot encourage enough people to get out and vote.
Correct. Every election is important, especially spring elections. Spring elections have on the ballot our judicial races, our municipal races, the school board races, your local referendum question. And these are the things that impact your life every single day.
Directly.
Yes.
Who sits on your city council? Who sits on your county boards? These are the folks who are deciding everything that happens in your locality. And, you know, every voter should feel compelled to come out and say, this is the county board member I want. This is the city council member I want. This is the mayor candidate that shares my values. I want to make sure that person is running my city. These are the really rubber meets the roads elections. And it's always been a confusion to me and all the League members why we don't come out for them. You know, this is the big time. Presidential elections happen every 4 years. A lot of stuff gets done at the federal level, as we all know. But what really impacts our lives every single day is what happens at the local level.
Absolutely.
That's yes. Such an excellent point, Deborah. It really is. These are even more important than the presidential election, just in terms of what this means for your day-to-day life and what it means directly in your community as opposed to across the entire country. So, yes. Get out and vote on Tuesday. It's really, really important.
Yeah.
Do you have time to say for a second segment? Because I don't know that we'll be able to cover this whole thing. I'll set up the question before we go to break. This is the second referendum question that will be on next Tuesday's ballot. Election officials, shall Section 7-2 of Article 3 of the Constitution be created to provide that only election officials designated by law may perform tasks in the conduct of primaries, elections, and referendums. Now, when I read this, it makes it sound like I can pull Bill in from off the street and have him give advice. That's not accurate.
No. Well, we're all kind of confused what this actually is. In the statutes that currently exist, election officials are defined very clearly. What we're fearful of is that by codifying that, you know, statutory language in the Constitution, we create opportunities for confusion. And that confusion might end up being litigated in courtrooms across Wisconsin as to whether or not, you know, the League of Women Voters, who published a voter's guide that printed some information about what candidates are on your ballot and how to find a sample ballot, we're not defined in the statutes. Was that now a prohibited activity?
So they could.
We just don't know answers to questions like that.
So there could be litigation then, yeah, if someone wants to come after
absolutely
the League of Women Voters. Yeah, this seems like a bad idea. That is Deborah Kronmiller. She's the executive director of the League of Women Voters. We are replaying a conversation that we had last week, especially importance. Today is primary day in Wisconsin. These two referendum that we're talking about with Deborah are on the ballot. The second half of our conversation right after this. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. It is primary day. The polls are open. You have until 8 p.m. tonight to cast your ballot. Please, please vote. It is critically, critically important. Two big referendum on the statewide ballot today that would change the Wisconsin state constitution. We're rerunning a discussion we had last week with the executive director of the League of Women Voters, Deborah Kronmiller, explaining what those two referendum mean and what it would mean if they pass. Here's the second half of this conversation on Civic Media. So glad to have our guest with us. She is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Deborah Kronmiller is here to kind of break down the two referendum that are going to be appearing on next Tuesday's ballot when you head to the polls on April 2nd. The second question, again, Deborah, we'll recap a little bit. Election officials, they will make a special article in the Constitution that only election officials designated by law can perform tasks in the conduct of primaries, elections, and referendums. And as we were saying before the break, this kind of sets it up for even organizations like yours to be in the crosshairs of someone if they determine that you are not an election official.
That's correct. And because it's so vaguely written, it's difficult to, you know, ascertain whether or not all of the different supportive players to our elections and our election officials would be allowed if this were enacted. And so the, you know, what we know is the League's involved with poll worker recruitment, as are other organizations. The League's involved with getting people to the polls, offering rides through our collaboration with Lyft. And Vote Riders does this same work in municipalities around the nation. These are not actions or activities that are defined in statutes and would not be codified in the Constitution were this to pass. So now the question becomes, if it's not in there, does that make it not allowable? And that we're concerned about that. And we're concerned because our clerks have always accepted support. You know, if the machine that is in the polling place on election day, you know, fails to accept the ballot, you know, something's wrong with it, they call in a technician from the company. That person's not defined as a official election worker.
Sure.
Are they allowed to come into the polling place then? Are they allowed to fix that machine? There's just too many questions here. And I think with all those outstanding questions, we have no choice but to vote no.
And once again, it just feels like there is a certain group of people who want to make it as difficult and uncomfortable and as murky as humanly possible. And that doesn't seem... that doesn't seem very pro-democracy, at least to me.
We agree. And the but the reality is, I think what we also agree on is, you know, clerks are so important to everyone in a community. You know, they help really make sure that our elections are safe, secure, accountable. You know, they certify results. They send their results to the counties to be certified. They send it to WEC to be certified. Everything has a paper trail. We know it all works. It's like we're fixing a problem we don't have. And I always am concerned about why we do that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I said to Jane earlier was, when the group of people who are doing this get their way, they make it harder for the people even who vote for them. They make it harder for everybody. This doesn't just affect one group of people.
You're absolutely right.
This affects the entire electorate, and there are going to be plenty of people who are going to say, I was going to vote for so-and-so, but I'm not going in today because I just
don't. I don't want to wait 3 hours.
I got to wait 3 hours. I got to do that. Like, no, and they're going to, I mean, it's not advantageous. And as you said earlier, if the law couldn't make it happen, don't put it in the Constitution, because this could also backfire on the group who put it forth one day as well. I mean, this, it's, as usual, not very well thought out.
Mm-hmm. And amending our Constitution is a big deal.
Yes.
You know, we've had a Constitution in place for over 150 years. We've amended it 148 times. And most of those amendments, or half of them basically, were to undo a prior amendment because it wasn't well thought out. It was perhaps a policy or a social issue that never had a place in the Constitution to begin with. And that's what we think about these two questions and this constitutional amendment. It does not belong in our Constitution. It's a policy. It's about how to administer our elections. This can be done at the election administration level through the Wisconsin Election Commission. It can be done through legislation. Certainly does not need to be done through constitutional amendment.
Well, and yet again, I go back to yet another example of one group not being able to get something done, going through the correct channels. So they come up with a different way to go around it, mm-hmm. to see if they can get their way that way. And with the yep. language that's used in these referendum, it's intentionally murky. It's confusing. The issue, at least from me, from my perspective, I'm going to vote no on both of them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's what we're advocating. And you, the electorate should be aware that this is actually a more complicated situation than it appears on its face. Not that it's not complicated enough, but the questions that are on our ballot and what should happen in the Constitution, the language change in the Constitution is actually different than the language change that we're seeing on our ballot. And for all of these reasons, it's not transparent. It doesn't seem, or it doesn't feel good. And, you know, I think we've discussed the motivations for it certainly are to make voting more accessible.
No.
I think the motivations are to suppress certain individuals from voting, mm-hmm. or worse, create some sort of false narrative around the integrity of our elections, which we know are of very high integrity.
If you would like to find out more, Deborah, if someone is listening and that they'd like to learn more about the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, where can they get in touch with you?
Sure. You can always find more information about us on our website, which is lwvwi.org. We actually have a toolkit on why to vote no. You'll find that in our section on our navigation bar, toolkits and resources. And the toolkit is a vote no toolkit.
We will get that in our show notes once we put the podcast up afterwards. Deborah Cronmiller, the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, thank you so very much for your time. This has been really, really informative.
Thank you so much.
We do thank Deborah again for joining us last week, and I hope this was helpful for you as we head out to the election. Stay with us. We have news on the way next. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.